You're listening to Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix from tailoredpodcast.com. Marketing, media, and web information sure to hit the mark. Grab a drink, settle down, and get the news from an expert who's been there, done that, and wears a t-shirt. Here's your host, Brendan Sinclair.
Hello there and welcome to show number 17. Today, Wednesday the 29th of March 2006, I'm Brendan Sinclair and as always I'm joined by the lovely Tina. Tina, hello.
Hello Brendan and hello everyone out there listening.
How are you this week?
I'm pretty good this week, yeah.
What's news in your life? Anything interesting happening?
In my life or
yeah,
in my work?
Ah, who cares about work?
Whatever. Not much, really. I'm going to the races tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so I get all dressed up.
That's Toowoomba.
Yes, Toowoomba races.
So if there's anyone from Toowoomba, go along on races and you'll see the famous Tina. Drinking, gambling and watching horses or just drinking and that's it?
Definitely some gambling as well.
Very good. Okay, well, let's move into the show. We're going to do things a little differently from now on. We've had quite a bit of feedback that people want to listen to the show more than once a week. Once a week is just not enough of us, Tina, is it? Quite frankly, I reckon 7 days a week of us is what people really want, but they haven't quite said that.
I'm sure people will never get sick of your melodic voice, Brendan.
I don't get sick of hearing my own voice, let me tell you. Now, so what we're going to do is do basically 5-minute podcasts. The trouble with that is I think we've already been talking for about 5 minutes. We're going to just focus on one topic per podcast and just move on from there. Today, we're going to talk about a proposal that we gave a company and talk about why we then offered to go out and get competitors to quote against us. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we finished off a proposal, quite an extensive proposal for a local company, quite a large company, that turns over in the many of millions of dollars. And we gave a quite extensive and fairly big in terms of expensive website development proposal. We came to this proposal after a tremendous amount of work trying to ascertain exactly what they need for their website to work well and exactly what their users are interested in finding out. So we did quite a bit of research to develop our proposal. We probably had 3 or 4 meetings. We had telephone conferences. We met with their vice president of marketing from the US, all sorts of things. And in terms of hours, I'd say, I don't know, 40, 50 hours, I suppose, in developing the proposal. Now, what happened with this organization is their marketing president then requested some other quotes on websites, I guess for a couple of reasons. Number one is to make sure that we're price competitive, and number two, to probably retain some control over the process. So in our discussions with our contacts at the business, which is the CEO and one of the senior managers, came out that they need another 2 quotes or 2 proposals for their website. So what we've done is we're trying to push the process along so that they can make a decision so that they can start, because we see tremendous value for the website, okay? So what we did was I rang them up and said, okay, we understand that this is the situation. Is there anything we can do to help? And our contact said, no, we've just got to get the quotes. We've been really busy, blah, blah, blah. And that's what happens a lot, because they see how much time we've put into the proposal and how much work it's been, and they don't really want to go through that process again, because they invested quite a bit of time with us too to identify the major aspects and facets of that proposal. So they don't want to go off and get another 2 quotes because they're so busy, and on it goes. What I said to them was, okay, well, how about 2 things? One, how about we write you a request for proposal document so that we can write down exactly what the specifications of this particular job are according to what we've identified in what, as you know, was a very exhaustive assessment process. And we would charge them for our time for doing that. And I thought that was a good idea. The benefit of that to them is then they can compare oranges to oranges. They can compare someone's exact quote to our exact quote on the exact same specifications.
But surely they wouldn't want you to have control over the quoting process and over the criteria for the website and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And that's the weakness of that approach, is that they only get a one-faceted review of their website needs, which is us. So we give our quote, and then if we write the resultant request for proposals from that, then it's very one-dimensional. And like I say, if we're not very good at our assessment, and who, regardless of who does the website, they'll end up with a poor website.
And probably there's a lot of grey areas too, that other things could happen, not just that.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to bring in some fresh thinking. You don't want just our assessment and our thinking of things. You want to grab a whole range of thinking and processes and reviews into the situation so that you can identify what the best, what the absolute best result is. So then what we did was gone, okay, well, how can we help you move forward with this process? Because we want them to make a decision. I don't care whether it's a yes or a no. Obviously, I'd prefer it to be a yes, but I'd prefer them to make a decision so that A, we can help them quicker, or B, we can know that we don't need to allocate any more resources to following up this quote and developing the relationship and all of those things. So we said, okay, well, we know a couple of good quality developers around. Would you like us to ask them to quote for the job as well?
But how do they know that the developers you're going to recommend are going to be competitive to what you've done?
Yeah, well, I guess they don't. And there's obviously a large degree of, a large element of trust in there as well. And they've got to trust us that we'll ask a developer who will be independent and who will compete against us without having the information that we possess. For instance, the developer that's called them doesn't know how much we charged, and I haven't given her any information regarding the brief. That I'll leave that up to the client, to the prospect. Yeah, there's a big element of trust there, in that the client, the prospect's got to trust us to get someone independent. But what we've done is basically we've said to them, okay, we know what we're doing, we're known in the industry, we know lots of other developers, here's another really good developer that we would recommend you have a listen to, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So I got feedback from the person who contacted this prospect today, and the prospect said to them, oh, I'm so relieved that you rang so that we can get another quote and move forward on this. So that's a really positive outcome, I think.
That sort of sounds like they want to go with you, but they're just being told to get two more quotes and move on.
Yeah, I imagine that we would be the hot favourites, and the other person who's quoting listens to this podcast. So I imagine we've had this conversation, I imagine we would be the hot favourites because we've developed the relationship and they know us and they've seen us put so much work into it. But this new person will probably do exactly the same thing, but you'd think that we would be the favourites there. The other thing that probably is important there is that there might be a significant price sensitivity. Maybe they're looking at other quotes because we're too expensive, although they've denied that in our conversations. It's, you know, reasonably priced. It's a pretty massive job. So maybe the price is an issue, and maybe if this new competitor comes in at a significantly lower price or even a little lower than us, then perhaps they'll win the job on that basis. So I think it's a really good example. Like if you said to someone, hey, get some competitor quotes and we'll help you find those competitor quotes. A lot of the time the prospect wouldn't believe that you would get real competitive quotes, but we've developed a relationship in that way that it's trustworthy, etc., that, you know, they understand that we're just trying to help them out here and trying to move the process along, because the guys that we're dealing with have got lots and lots of time pressures on them. But a website will be a terrific asset to their business, so let's help them move along, and as always, let's try and find a solution for the client's problem. And if we can help them out, if the person that we recommended to provide the competitive quote, if that person wins the job, great, because they're a great developer and designer and all that, and they'll do a great job for the client as well.
Would that sort of approach be something you'd recommend to other people, or is it a unique situation?
Don't know. It's pretty unusual that I've suggested, okay, well, we'll help you get competitive quotes. But it's not unusual that the client sits there for a month thinking, oh, I've got to get more competitive quotes, but I haven't got the time. So that's not that unusual. But it reminds me of a post on a forum I read the other day about a guy who was asked, talking about how he hates marketing and doesn't want to do any sales, hates marketing and sales, loves web development, loves web design, hates the marketing and the sales.
It sounds like he needs to work for someone else.
Yeah, don't know. I reckon it's just a bit of an attitude change, because I don't think I'm good at selling at all. All I try and do is identify what the problem is for the client and provide solutions for them to address those problems. And I really try and approach it from the client's perspective that this is the absolute best for them, regardless of the other issues such as how long it's going to take, etc. Obviously, you've got to be profitable as well, which is a major consideration. And even that, I look upon it as the client wants us to be profitable because they want us to stay with them and provide the good service that they get and provide the great results that they get. So they want to pay us enough that we're profitable, but so that also that the website that we provide is good value for money. Okay, so that finishes off that topic about how offering to get competitive quotes against your website proposal could actually work in your favour. I'm not sure if that example is really that portable to other industries. I guess other professional services.
An example of don't always just think down the straight and narrow path. Try and think laterally to get around issues rather than think, oh, we'll just have to wait until the client makes up their mind. See what you can do in the process to move it along.
Yeah, and part of that was that we've developed such a strong relationship with the client that A, it's surprising that they haven't actually selected us to do the job, and B, that the we've developed so much trust, and that's always a good sign, always a good thing to do with any client. So that wraps up the shortened version of the show today, Wednesday, 29th of March, 2006. As always, we'd love to hear feedback on our Skype, which is Tailored, or have a look for our contact details over there on www.tailoredpodcast.com. Thanks again for listening. On next week's show, we have why lunching with the clients is always a great thing, and not just for the beer and the food. Bye for now from me, and
bye for now from me too.
Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix is brought to you by TaylorPodcast.com, where you get expert advice on all things business.